What's up, everybody? Welcome to Smoking Weed and Talking Mixed Martial Arts. My name is Jared. I'm here with Paul.
What's up?
And we are smoking on some fine herb, coming to you live from Las Vegas, Nevada. On today's episode, we are going to be taking a look at the UFC pay-per-view numbers that have come in recently with the big effects from this ESPN deal. We're going to talk a little bit about Sage Northcutt's future after a brutal knockout in one championship. We're also going to be looking ahead to UFC Fight Night Sweden, the UFC's Cejudo versus Marias and Shevchenko versus I pay-per-view after that, plus a little bit of Paulie versus Artem, a little bit of T-Wood, a little bit of everything else today. But first, we're going to start off with our weed of the week.
Absolutely.
Smoke weed every day.
Man, and this right here is brought to us by our friends at Zen Leaf Dispensaries with their house brand Verano. This is their brand new strain G6, just dropped. What do you think of this, man?
It's got that diesel flavor for sure.
It definitely. G6 is sometimes called jet fuel as well. It's a cross of the Aspen OG and High Country Diesel. So it's actually got twice the diesel in it, dude. It's got High Country Diesel, which is an unknown genetic strain. Mm-hmm. But the Aspen OG has both has East Coast Sour Diesel and San Fernando Valley OG Kush in its lineage. So that's why it's got this heavy fuel taste.
Yeah, it's got a solid fuel taste.
Now, some people like that. Some people don't. Like me, I'm a big fan.
It's a little much.
Some people, they're like, wow, it tastes like gas. I think that was the first thing you said when you fired it up. Like, wow, it tastes like gas. But yeah, that's legit, dude. That is the thing with this strain. I grew up in an auto repair shop, and I swear to God, I think that's why I like the taste of the diesel strain.
Well, it's not that I don't like it. I just wasn't ready for it. I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah, they're all like that, man. Even East Coast. East Coast Sour Diesel is probably my all-time favorite strain, and it's just got that classic smell and flavor. We also got some killer...
It's definitely smooth, though.
Yeah, it's definitely smooth. We also got some Lemon Killer Haze we picked up at Zen Leaf as well. This is another sativa. Cross a Super Lemon Haze and Super Silver Haze. Two more of my favorites.
I fucking like
strains.
It, too. It's really nice.
Yeah, yeah. We were smoking on that a little bit pre-show. We like getting our shit down at Zen Leaf. It is the only way-on-the-spot dispensary in the state of Nevada. Everywhere else does the pre-package. They weigh it out in front of you, which is super cool. I like that a lot.
I like it.
That's how it is. Like for me, that's how it was at home in Colorado before I moved out here. So it was something I'm used to. You definitely want to check them out if you're coming into Vegas. That's Zen Leaf Dispensary. And, dude, we got one other joint over there. I forgot what the other one is. It's a Polaris. What is it?
It's a Lemon Walker OG.
Lemon Walker OG. Man, we are going with a lot of the lemon and fruit flavors today.
I like lemon. Like, when it comes to, like, my wax, like, oh, dude, lemon. Nice.
Dude, it gets that lemon.
That lemon haze.
Limonene terpene.
I like lemon haze a lot, to be honest.
Yeah, anything that has the fruity terpenes in it, I dig a lot too, be it in the wax or in the flower. Absolutely, man. Well, what about these UFC pay-per-view numbers that have come in the past two cards, man? Let's dive right into it, because that's fucking shocking.
Yeah.
Shocking. So let's refresh the audience. What was the first pay-per-view was estimated at what?
About 80,000.
80,000 to 90,000. Which, that was Max Holloway versus Dustin Poirier, right? In the interim lightweight championship.
Then Gastelum versus Adesanya.
Man, those were...
That was a great fucking card.
Two of the greatest main and co-main events.
Of all time.
And it was the first ESPN
Plus
card.
80-90 does not do it justice.
Now, folks, maybe you're listening to our show and you don't keep up with the UFC's pay-per-view model. They made a big switch here. Instead of running a traditional pay-per-view model like they always have...
Well, you run through your digital, like... cable
provider. You get it through your cable provider, and they split the revenue 50-50. They switched everything to one outlet, ESPN Plus, which is a streaming service you have to order. And then after ordering that service, you get access to the ability to order a UFC pay-per-view. It's like a double paywall. And I mean, I think you could have easily estimated the first... That UFC, that Max Holloway, Dustin Poirier probably would have done 500,000 buys, right? On a traditional pay-per-view model, right?
Maybe.
80 to 90K
I would say probably like around 350.
Now, the UFC is not hurt by this because they're getting guaranteed numbers from ESPN now. That's the sweet spot for them.
Yeah.
ESPN, they figure they're building it. But what about this next one, this Rose Namajunas, Jessica Andrade?
That's another fucking story. They're talking about possibly looking at like 70,000.
Oh, my God.
And that hurts.
That's brutal.
That hurts because that was a pretty stacked card, too.
That was a stacked card. That was a good fight.
That's fucking sucks, man.
And I'm pretty certain that the bare knuckle boxing in its fifth event is getting higher numbers pay per view than that, my man.
Yeah, they like, might.
For real.
Yeah. That's rough.
Those are Oscar De La Hoya.
And then also, their ESPN prelims were the lowest rated that it's been during the ESPN era.
For the Rose Namajunas pay per view?
Yep.
We keep calling it that. It's not like she had anything to do with these low numbers. This is because the double it's just paywall her fight, that's been inactive.
So what?
Inactive.
It was like UFC 239.
This is a shame because these have been some quality main events
since
they've made the ESPN move. And these pay-per-view numbers...
just aren't doing it justice at all.
And these fighters, no one wants to cry for the big stars. I mean, Conor gets his money. John Jones, I'm sure, has made plenty of cash. Well, maybe he's a bad example because he's been out, but... this pay-per-view model, these stars are going to get hurt a little bit in this as well.
Yeah, I'm
UFC gets a guaranteed number.
I'm thinking based on what we're seeing happen behind the scenes, I'm thinking the UFC as a whole, like fighter-wise, is going to start going to the same model for the fighters this time, though, and doing flat fees, negotiating flat fees instead of play and win. Because, like, Conor McGregor did a flat fee. Nate Diaz is talking about he wants a flat fee. People want a flat fee, and you can't blame them. A bonus for winning? Get the fuck out of here. You're still fucking getting in the ring, putting your life on the line. You deserve a flat fee. I don't give a fuck if you're at the top of the
bottom. We're going to see what happens here. Because, you know, you might be listening to this and saying, well, I as a fan, why do I care what the UFC's pay-per-view model is? You care because it's going to come down to matchmaking. A lot of these fighters, in my opinion, see, I differ from Paul. I don't think the UFC is going to be willing to pay the flat fee that, like, a Conor McGregor is going to demand. Like,
I'm saying if they want these fighters, they're going to need to. There's too many options out there for them not to.
That's the thing. If they want these fighters, like, the leverage model has changed now. Like you and I are both of the opinion that that's why the Brock Lesnar fight against Daniel Cormier did not come to fruition because that pay-per-view model changed. And then he was suddenly like, yeah, you're not.
Well, and then you got Brock. Because
they didn't want to pay him a
although
flat
it's
fee.
All an act, you do have Brock Lesnar going on WWE and his, like, manager, Paul Heyman, like, his fake manager on WWE.
Yeah, no,
saying, we're back because they didn't pay us enough. Like.
But I think there's probably
that could
truth
obviously
to
part that, of that
because
act,
he went through the trouble of setting up that fight. Of, like, going into USADA testing pool, of visibly slimming down, of ending his contract with WrestleMania.
He was in there.
And then out of the blue, that pay-per-view model fucking changed. And then suddenly he's like, it's not worth it for me.
And then announces his official retirement.
Yeah.
Has he exited the USADA pool yet, though?
I'm pretty certain he has, yeah. Because he's already back in WrestleMania, like you just said. And, I mean, they're not too worried. There's no USADA over there. He can bulk back up.
Like, you gotta,
but
like, you gotta do them.
I think that this is gonna lead to, for the immediate future, at least right now.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think we're gonna see Conor, not in the UFC. I don't think we're gonna see a lot of these big guys. Luckily, there's only a handful of them. The rest will just go along and do it because they don't really get affected.
Or they really don't give a fuck.
Who's crying for Conor doesn't.
That's the biggest problem
million.
Is a lot of these guys in the UFC really just don't give a fuck.
No. I wish they would have unionized before this deal, man. WME Endeavor, the parent company of the UFC, also just announced they're going to be going public, which that doesn't mean the UFC is a public company, but they're going to be part of a public company. These guys, I wish they would have taken advantage of it, but such is life. But man, you think the UFC, you think they're going to see the uptick? You think they're going to sustain this for a while? You think
here's
a year from now they're getting a million fucking
here's the problem.
Pay-per-views?
They're definitely on the right path, but they're like kind of unfortunately having to be the martyrs in the fucking situation. You know what I mean? They have to be that person to push the culture forward. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I think everything's going that way also when you see, like, DAZN. WWE's been doing it for a couple of years now, and they're finally getting successful with it. So maybe just riding out the ship is the best scenario right
now.
Did
you see DAZN's numbers that came out? It was not impressive. I don't remember it exactly on all of them, but it was only like 4 million subscribers worldwide, which might sound like a lot, but that was before they did their double the price fucking increase.
Yeah, I canceled mine.
Yeah, if ESPN Plus pulls some shit like that, if they suddenly jump up to 10, I don't know. I mean, I'll begrudgingly pay it, but then that starts just being too much. It's not the $10 there.
Here's the thing.
And you add in your Netflix and your Hulu and every fucking thing
else.
Here's
the problem, though. How does ESPN track that, though? Because ESPN is getting followers for more than just fucking the UFC.
Yeah, the UFC is not the only
Plus,
thing on ESPN Plus.
ESPN
yeah.
Plus has every talk show on demand, every First Take, all that shit. That's all on demand.
Yes, well worth the $5.
It has
bucks.
All their 30 for 30 films. That's pretty cool. They have tons of NBA, like, insider
yeah, all
shit.
30 for 30s are fucking
there's
great.
Like, there's tons of shit that they have on ESPN Plus.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the night of a fight, their shit could go up or down. Like, you never know. Like, yeah, it could be influenced, but at the end of the day, ESPN's using them to get their numbers either way. They're going to get their numbers. But now they're just getting an extra chunk of numbers from the UFC.
You think they can make a move in... How long does it take to go from
because
under 100K buys
well,
to
here's
a
the
million
thing. Here's
or
the
half
thing.
A million?
And ESPN is now starting to accumulate more fighting now. Now they have the PFL that actually is broadcast on ESPN Plus
every
Thursday.
Yeah, on Thursday nights, MMA yeah. night on ESPN Plus.
Yeah, I watched PFL. One last week. It was pretty sick. I mean, there are some names that I know just because I'm kind of, you know, into this shit. So, you know, like that were on there. So I actually liked it a lot. So if ESPN
that too.
ESPN could do that to every major organization if they really wanted to.
But does that water down the UFC's
That's what
the
I'm saying.
Pay-per-view? Like, do you
well,
then
no,
people
no, no,
want
no.
to
because,
shell out 60
because here's
bucks
the thing,
to watch
though.
A
here's
UFC
thing,
card
though.
When they can just
here's
watch all this other MMA?
Here's the thing. It's going to be like a situation where you're getting all these eyes on it because so many, it's going to be such a big pool that maybe it's just the UFC is the first, but each organization like is going to continue and continue. If it's successful, like if this the numbers keep going up, once PFL, I mean, no one really knows what their numbers are doing yet, but you know what I'm saying? Like to get more people into the sport as a whole could move those numbers up rather than it just being a UFC thing. You know
we'll
what I'm
see.
Saying?
We're certainly going to see something interesting that I want to watch for sure.
Obviously, it's not going to be good in the beginning.
I'm also curious as what
this
kind
is
of
how WWE did, though. WWE had shit numbers in the beginning, and everyone was talking about how they were going to go under and all this shit. And
yeah, but they're a bit
they
more.
Came out way big now to the point where fucking Vince McMahon just started a whole nother league.
Yeah, but they're bigger than UFC.
Duh.
I mean.
Duh, but I'm saying
you know what
that,
I mean? Like that
that's
fan
what
base,
they're attempting
they
to do
could,
right now,
yeah.
is what I'm saying. UFC has always followed the WWE model. Ask everybody
oh, no,
from
I
the
agree.
Bottom to top.
I agree, yeah.
If you guys want to see what I'm talking about, go watch the ESPN short film they have about the UFC's fucking existence.
Yeah, yeah.
Literally, they've always followed like WWE's model. They try to act like it's not WWE.
Well, of course,
dude,
yeah,
they're
they
doing
a lot
of the same shit WWE
Absolutely.
Does. And it's made him successful, you know? Some people don't like it. I personally, in some situations, like it and don't like it. But it is what it is.
It is what it is. It's a fight game.
I'd rather them embrace that than just try to continue to, like, you know... Because the fan base that you could bring in from those pro wrestling community, dude, you could bring so many of those fans in. You know what I'm saying?
That's why they like Brock, because he brought in those numbers.
Exactly.
Those
that's
people,
what he does,
they
though. That's
never
what I'm saying.
Stayed. They
that's
came in
true.
And they watched Brock, and then they were like, cool.
Same thing CM Punk, too.
Yeah.
It's cash
came,
grab for the UFC, because
yeah.
they knew they'd bring those WWE fans in. But now the question is, there's no such thing as a cash grab for them anymore.
No, that's all done and gone with this deal.
Yeah.
It's going to be crazy to see how that plays out. And I'm also wondering, is there a sign
but
effect
is this
of this?
A, but also, is this a good thing for the UFC? And now we're going to see the fights that need to happen. Instead of the fights that You know what I'm saying? Now it's the best are going to fight the best. It doesn't matter. At the end, it really doesn't matter about numbers.
Yeah, we hope. We hope.
That's really what it comes down to.
Come on now, we hope.
They can't make any money off the pay-per-views, what's the point of making the shit fights for good fighters anymore?
Is there an
iron sharpens iron. No, I'm just kidding.
Is there going to be an outside side effect for a company, say, like Bellator? Like, are they... Like, is there Madison Square Garden? Is that going to be a pay-per-view event, or is that a
I believe free it's broadcast? On DAZN.
It's on DAZN?
Yeah. Everything for them is on DAZN now. Hmm.
I wonder if another combat league, you know, like, say, BKFC coming into the pay-per-view model, like, is there going to be an audience of people that were used to every once in a while buying a pay-per-view that are now, obviously, with these numbers, ain't buying it, that might then gravitate towards whatever pay-per-view exists for them to buy? Maybe, maybe not. I just find that curious.
I think One has pay-per-views.
Speaking of One, let's shift into that for a second. I think that about wraps up the UFC pay-per-view discussion, but Sage Northcutt made his debut in One. Did you hear?
I saw.
Most people probably did not watch that listening to our show. So, you know, Sage Northcutt was 3-0 in the UFC. You know,
and no, we he all wasn't. He was 3-2.
No, I mean, I'm sorry. He went on a 3-0 streak on his way out the door. Yeah. He was 3-0 in his last three fights. Decided to sign with One. You know, he's 23 years old. He is a... he's got a career ahead of him. Everybody, I think, would agree if he plays it right in movies. Like, he's got that Street Fighter movie coming out. He's got some, you know...
Yeah,
he's,
whatever.
He's got...
Fuck that
potential
shit.
To do shit. I'm not. I'm saying he's got to be a fucking fan. Okay, I'm saying he's not your average fighter. That's why he got promoted into the UFC the way he did. Same as Paige VanZant on the female side. Okay, let's just be real.
Yeah, Paige VanZant wins fucking fights at the end of the day. This motherfucker doesn't win.
He's won his last three in the UFC on his way out the door.
No, he won two.
No, he won three. He was his last three fights in a row, and then he went to One. I was looking at his record before
the show.
He's 5-2,
though, in the UFC. And his two losses were against...
Dude, I'm not a Sage Northcutt fan. Jesus.
I'm just giving you shit. You're good.
I don't fucking care about Sage Northcutt. I am just looking analytically at this decision that was made. They're trying to make a point here. And I'm setting up for people who did not watch this shit, who don't know who Sage Northcutt is, okay? So he's a movie action-looking dude who was 3-0 in the UFC on his way out the door and signed with fucking One Championship, okay? And then he proceeds to get his face fucking smashed in like, within the first minute. 9 hours of surgery, some 8 fractures where they pulled 30 bone splinters out of his cheek.
Yeah.
Like, to a movie star looking dude who's 23 and a lot
he came
of...
came out looking good, though.
In a shady fucking situation at a weight class that was 185. This is a guy who was at 155 in the UFC, then 170, was at 185 now. There's a lot of people saying...
Well, no, you know who's here's the blame here is his management team at the end of the day.
Well, yeah, he takes the fight, and his management team okays it. It's on him.
This
ultimately.
Is not on ONE FC, honestly.
But this is a terrible thing, is what I'm trying to get across. Like,
oh, 100%.
You want to talk
this
about
a
terrible career move?
Yeah.
He's not going to fight again for a year.
Yeah.
Look how long Roy McDonald was out for a year with a busted fucking nose. Yeah. This dude's whole fucking side of his face was busted in. Like, this ain't just
like
a broken
orbital
bone.
Too, dude. Holy shit.
Like, it 9 hours of facial reconstruction surgery on just one half of his face.
That was a terrible fight to take. Why would you take
awful
a fight against Cosmo? And then try to stand with him.
Against
what
a world-class kickboxer at a much bigger weight class, 15 pounds heavier than he was ever fighting in the UFC. And people were saying he was too small for welterweight, which I disagree with. But
well,
he was debuted at 155, which seems ridiculous.
Here's the thing. Sage.
Terrible move here.
Sage is fighting one. I think he could stay hydrated and probably fight 170 in One. I just don't know what the fuck he's thinking.
What was anybody thinking who okayed that fight? Like, that dude is a killer.
Well, here's the thing.
Obviously.
This is a conversation that his management needs to have.
Is he still managed by like his dad?
I don't know, dude. And he's got all these guys from Alpha Male behind him. All those guys have been around forever. They don't know who motherfucking Cosmo is, dude. He's
a savage.
He's a fucking savage.
And he's a big dude.
And he's a fucking seasoned vet, dude. He probably has like 300 fucking fights. Dude, yeah. he's one of those guys.
Yeah, kickboxing?
That, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what people don't understand. Like, yeah, he's got an 8-1 MMA record, but he's fought Muay Thai, kickboxing. He's a fucking savage.
This was a terrible career.
And he's trained with the best of the best for years. Tons and tons of people have brought him into their camps for their fights. Tons. So he's seen all the styles. So for a guy like Sage to go in there with underdeveloped skills and come in there with your fucking hands down trying to fight in a fucking karate stance and get fucking rocked and knocked the fuck out, your face broken with one punch.
His whole face broken.
What the fuck are you doing?
It was terrible.
As a management team or a training camp with a ton of seasoned vets.
Like, that's why I'm mad. What are you doing? Don't fighters have, like, he's, of course, he's going to take, he personally is going to be like, yeah, I'll fight him. Of course, he's a fucking fighter. He's going to think he can kick everybody's ass. That's his job. But his management's job is to be like, no.
Yeah, this is not.
No, that's why we'll get you a fight. Don't worry.
And I swear to God, and if this is the ignorance of not knowing who Cosmo Alexander is, you're a fucking idiot.
Like, his career could be, this could be the end.
Oh, of Sage Northcutt. I don't know about the end.
Not just because, like, his face got busted, but. There's a chance that he's not the same fighter. This could be a mind-altering knockout. Like, that ain't your normal fucking KO.
Yeah.
He could come back gun-shy and not the same dude. He could come back okay, but there's a real question. And you know what? We're going to have to wait a fucking year plus to see that.
Yeah. Well, like
what
I
said, terrible move.
There's no one to blame but yourself at the end of the day when you're...
One's going to make the fucking fight. They're the promoter. They're like, whatever. I think it was dumb on their part, but they're not really interested in making stars.
Here's the thing.
Fights.
Yeah. 1FC is the type of organization where making stars, although is not something that they do, it's something that happens from what the fights that are being put on.
Right.
In that organization. They don't really, like, yeah, they promote and they go and they've been doing these tours where they're bringing in their biggest stars. But the thing is, a lot of their biggest stars, like their real stars, are the ones who just win all their fights, you know? Like, for real. Like, they just win. So, they're not like a UFC where they see a guy like maybe like McGregor. Remember early, even early there, UFC was pushing him hard because of his following. And,
right.
Like, one won't really do that. It's kind of like, oh, just gotta.
Well, their viewership
earn
tunes
yourself.
In anyways.
Yeah. Doesn't fucking matter who's fighting.
I mean, some of the numbers of their viewership has been crazy.
It's fucking
weird. Because that's a different...
you think the UFC gets numbers. Get the fuck
wise,
out of here. Career-wise, yeah, it was not a good idea.
Like, I mean, fan-wise, I'm not, like, on the Northcutt train. I didn't think he should have been in the UFC to begin with. But I feel bad for the kid. Dude, that was so bad. Cosmo was like, I felt sad after that, for sure.
Yeah, dude.
Like, when the dude who knocked you the fuck out
He's
is
like, I didn't mean to do that.
I didn't mean to do that to you, son.
Oops. Like, dude, he hit him flush, though.
Why? Sage just came in. His hands were fucking down by his waist.
He thinks he's fucking Wonder Boy Thompson.
Coming in against a fucking killer kickboxer. In a ring.
And a great Muay Thai
fighter,
too.
He's fighting in a ring, which is different. The move is different than a fucking octagon that he's used to.
Yep.
This was just terrible all the way around.
Yeah, like, he got fucking
He should fire his fucking management.
Yeah.
I hope it's not his dad. I don't know. I don't pay enough attention to Sage. I know in the beginning his dad was managing him when he first came into the UFC. And I'm not trying to talk shit about anybody's fucking parents on this show. Whatever, dude. But you should probably get some pros in your corner if you don't have any. If you currently have those pros, you should fire them motherfuckers. Because, damn.
Holy shit.
That's... At least he filmed a Street Fighter movie before that happened.
I think this is a situation where he's still a young guy, so he has a lot of opportunities to still turn this around. But this is definitely a real big setback.
Yeah, I hope he comes back just fine from it. But if there was ever the type of knockout that could fuck with your head,
it was that one.
It's that kind of thing right there, especially when you're not. Like, he's Mr. Instagram model, dude. That's part of who he is. He's not just, like, some fighter. You know what I mean? Like Gilbert Melendez got his face all busted up. But, I mean, no offense to Gilbert Melendez, but he's not going to get a fucking full-time job as a male model either.
Gilbert's a savage.
You know, he's a fucking savage. Yeah, he's a beast. Sage Northcutt is Sage Northcutt.
Yeah.
You know, Super Sage. Poor kid, man. Poor motherfucking kid.
God. Yeah, well, I think that about does it for them. Let's move on.
What about one, though? Wait, what about one slightly shady fucking weight practices
here? I don't know, dude.
Don't you think that's a little odd? I mean, like, they don't have any government oversight. They just overturned that
Giorgio Petrosian fight,
like, just because they wanted to. I mean, there's probably an argument to be made that it maybe should have been overturned, but still, when a fight promotion doesn't have any oversight, like, Sage didn't
Here's
know.
The thing, though.
Here's what I'm saying, folks. Like, Sage Northcutt does not know that Cosmo weighed in at 185 pounds. Nobody knows. We know because one said, oh, yeah, no, we saw.
Yeah, but here's the thing. That dude's been weighing 185 for a minute. All right. That's.
Could be. They could be perfectly fine. But if there was.
Yeah, it's definitely
shady. That's why we have government oversight in the fight.
Yeah, it's weird. I see what you're saying.
That's why there's state athletic commissions in every state.
Yeah, but at the same time.
Because it's the fight game. It's not exactly known for being run by Cub Scouts and Boy Scouts. You know.
Yeah, definitely not. But I see what you're saying, but I would hope you're wrong.
I hope so, too.
Yeah.
I hope so, too. Because it ain't changing. Yeah. What do you think they're going to suddenly?
Well, and here's the thing. If it ever got shady like that, there's nobody who's come out and cried foul. You know what I'm saying?
No, Askren went through all that shit. Yeah.
No one's cried foul yet. If someone were to come out and say something like that, I mean, there could be a dialogue. But at this point, I feel like, it's just something. It could be shady, but at the same time, seems legit.
Let's hope it's all on the right. Yeah. Let's hope Sage Northcutt gets some better management decisions here in the future.
Yeah, get it. Jesus.
Dude, and speaking of decisions in the fight game, let's briefly, I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on it, but let's briefly talk about not the fight itself, really, unless it organically happens, but what about the press conference for the Bare Knuckle Fight Championship, Paulie Malignaggi versus Artem Lobov, which saw Paulie attempting to spit on, I mean, some of it hit on his pants, I think, on Artem. A lot of it hit on the promoter's head.
Trying to hit him with a mic.
And then suddenly just saying
talking shit about MMA.
Talking a lot of shit about MMA fans in particular. Not just shitting on MMA fighters, he shit on MMA fandom. He said he was going to put Artem in a coma and then take out his dick and pee in his toothless mouth.
Whoa.
And then he tried a microphone bonk as well, which, if you want to get really technical, bonking somebody on the head of the microphone at a press conference legally is an assault. Like, and now, this is, for me, I don't think any of this really crosses a line. It's a fight game. Yeah. I think it's a terrible look. I think spitting on people,
I feel,
dude,
like Paulie Malignaggi is just hurting himself. He doesn't need to do all this.
Like,
I don't even think he needs to fight, dude. Why is he even fighting?
Are we supposed to take him seriously after this, next time he shows up on Showtime in a fucking suit telling us about the fucking fight? We're not supposed to be
you're the weekend.
Dude that spit on Artem and bonked him with the microphone
last
and said you're gonna fucking pee in his mouth.
I'm pretty sure he was part of the fucking commentating team for Deontay Wilder fight.
Did he manage? He was dressed like a normal man though, not like a 90s reject crackhead, like at that press conference.
Dude, why are his eyes all sunken?
He's losing that weight.
You think so? Yeah. What are they fight? What weight are they fighting at?
Light 145.
Okay.
Yeah.
He used to fight 147, right? Or 146, something like that.
And he's been a little thicker since.
For sure. I wonder how much he was training before he signed for this fight.
He's a douche. What did Artem Lobov ever do to this guy? Nothing. He's just the proxy for Conor.
He's bargaining for the Conor.
He can't get over a fucking sparring match from going on 3 years ago now that nobody outside of the serious
Here's the problem
gives
is fucking bare knuckle fighting, although Paulie's probably the better fighter. Bare knuckle fighting is literally unpredictable. Yeah. Anybody can beat anyone in a bare knuckle fight. That's why you don't. I was listening. Think about it this way. Why do you think you don't see heavyweights in bare knuckle fighting?
Because
it'd be one fucking punch fights all day.
Dude, look how quickly Lee.
All they would have to do is
land. Last fight.
Oh yeah, for sure. Slept bare knuckle like is fucking seconds. Tough. If you're hanging in there in a bare knuckle fight, you're either not pushing on the gas or you're just fucking having.
That's why Paulie's delusional thinking he's going to knock out Artem Lobov. Paulie can't even swing full speed. The guy had 7 KOs and TKOs in his career. He's not known as a power puncher with the gloves on. And when the gloves on, you can punch as hard as you want.
Yeah.
He can't punch that hard with his fucking. He'll break his little hands.
He's got razor blades.
Oh, yeah. How does he hold his dick to pee in Artem's mouth with his razor blade fucking hands? fuck.
It's messy.
This dude is an embarrassment, Paulie. Like,
dude, he's fucking with the babe.
Pray
he dude.
Wins this fight. If he doesn't win this fight, I don't think he will. I think Artem's going to fuck him up. I think Artem is going to fucking use his head to deflect them punches, wade in, and sleep this motherfucker. And when Paulie gets emotional and tries to swing too fucking hard, which he will do, he'll break his little razor blade.
I don't know. Although,
on Artem's goddamn shit, and then when Artem gets inside with them T-Rex arms in that clinch, forget it.
Artem's known for fucking getting knocked down, though. And I just feel like I could see Artem
by
getting
like Jason
down.
Knight, who is way bigger than Paulie Malignaggi and definitely hits harder.
Hick Diaz
definitely hits harder than fucking Paulie. Oh, Paulie is going to be a clean boxer. He's going to come in with clean fucking shots. But this ain't boxing, man. You can't shell up. There isn't really the same way you can move around. They started a line, a scratch line. And
what if he thinks he can just beat Artem with his speed? It's possible he could beat Artem with his speed. Think he still has the speed? Because he was pretty fast.
He's fast. I mean, he's a skilled boxer.
I mean, he does. That's what I'm saying. He has.
If this
like,
isn't a boxing ring, if this is a boxing match, it'd be over. All his shit he's saying would be legit.
Yeah,
like, hey, probably Artem would knock his ass out.
The no gloves thing is
this
tough.
This ain't boxing,
it's tough,
dog. And the clinch, dude. They don't break the clinch up. You can clinch all you want, son. And who knows more about the clinch in this game?
Oh, for sure. It's
Artem.
All Artem.
It's all about that. Paulie doesn't know shit about the clinch. Not
and
like
I'm
that.
Wondering what Paulie's gas like tank that. Is going to be like.
How serious is he taking it?
Yeah.
And then he's going around saying fucking stupid shit.
Yeah.
Like, did you hear him trying to compare the deaths in boxing with the deaths
in just
MMA?
Strange,
MMA,
man.
A, that's a weird thing to brag about.
Why are you bragging about deaths in any sport? That's just...
And B, boxing, dude, the first recorded boxing match was like 1618.
Yeah.
MMA's been around 25
years,
son.
Got a couple years on us.
Yeah. So shut the fuck up. We can't even get CTE results yet. So shut up, dude. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, for real. Honestly.
What a, he's man.
He's just off his wagon, dude.
If he loses this
he
fight,
loses,
it will
be
the biggest flame out you have seen a professional fucking sports broadcaster ever fucking take.
You know what it's going to be like, dude? I hate to say it, but it's going to be like when Conor lost to Khabib and he was talking all that shit and everyone was like, damn.
It'll be pretty similar, except I think the repercussions go even further. Just
because Paulie's on a lower level for sure. So it's like he's already kind of washed up anyways. And then he gets smacked up by the goat, dude. Come on, dude.
Please, Artem. It'll be
that
the greatest
be so
thing I've ever
fucking
witnessed.
Funny, dude.
If that happens, it'll be my favorite
so
fight.
So fucking funny.
Imagine.
What the fuck would he say after? Nothing. He'd be like, it was bullshit.
Nothing. He wouldn't be able to say shit if Artem
What if Artem knocks one of his teeth out?
Dude, he knocked out like 3 of Jason Knight's fucking teeth. Yeah. That's like a legit thing that could happen.
Yeah.
All right, that's all I pray for every night. I'm like, dear MMA gods, just give me this. I don't even need to see Conor again. If Artem knocks out Paulie,
it would be funny.
That's it.
I just want to see it. Just so
I'm making shirts, bitch.
I just want to see it. I just want to see it just to see what Paulie's fucking answer to that shit is. He just doesn't need this at the end of the day. I mean, maybe he does. Obviously, from on the outside looking in, it looks like he's got a pretty fucking solid life. He's a fucking commentator for Showtime Boxing, which
dude,
is
I would think that too if he wasn't acting this way. And all the shit he said about
that's
Conor,
what I'm saying too.
Like all that shit he said about Conor's whiskey and Conor's clothing, which is like 10 times more successful than anything Paulie is doing. Who, incidentally, also is hawking a clothing line.
Yeah.
Uh huh.
For sure.
And he's shitting on Conor's $40 million in sales in his first year of a 3-year-old whiskey. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Everybody knows that's a big success.
Yeah.
Forbes was fucking telling him how awesome that was.
Yeah.
God damn.
Yeah.
And he's just hating on it. He just looked bad. It's a bad look.
He's kind of just a hater. But honestly, I think he's just taking it a little too far.
Way too far. Off some shit and nobody cares. Nobody cares about that sparring match, bro. Nobody. Nobody cares.
And then, he's put himself in a peculiar situation, too, because if he were to lose to Artem, there goes the small window of possibly fighting Conor. Because then Conor's going to be like, dude, see, I told you I whooped that bum.
you know what I mean? What if he beats Artem and then does something? Like, what if he does knock Artem out and then, spits on him in the fucking ring? Like, what if he does some shit, even further,
I don't know. Then that could become a problem with the commission at the end of the day.
I mean, at what point is spitting on people like going too far?
Yeah. And
like, I tell you what, in real life, if somebody spits on me, we're fighting. Like, well, if I'm walking down the street and some dude spits on me, yells at me, and spits on me, I am.
Here's the problem. Here's the problem, though.
But these guys are
fighting. You're not taking into account, what if you were to knock Artem out and then spit on him? Like, knocks him out cold. He can't get up, but he spit on him on the way down.
I mean, I don't think that's an unheard of thing. He was talking.
That's what I'm
saying.
Why
is that a crazy thing?
That's why I'm saying there could be commissions involved if something like that were to happen.
Can Pollock even come back from this, though? Can he come back with a loss here? Can he go back to Showtime?
I mean,
I'm sure his contract is there, but
he's
like,
in contract. So I mean,
this is a dude that couldn't take Connor fucking releasing photos to the MMA community. Do you think he can take the shame of the boxing community?
I want
to
see the video of that shit.
There's a good amount of it in that Notorious documentary, much more than was released on social media.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's why I don't believe Paulie anymore when he says that, well, I was winning. I mean, maybe you were, but that doesn't mean you won the whole thing.
Yeah.
But that's neither. Like, I don't care, though. I also don't care. It was a fucking sparring match.
It's like, yeah, cool,
two,
dude.
2-3 years ago.
Now like, what does it prove if he beats Artem, too? Like, god damn.
I know you beat a sub-500 fighter in boxing. You're a world champion boxer despite your fucking
exactly
7 TKOs saying. And 40 fights.
Yeah.
But, fuck him. Fuck that crazy promotion. But that shit's around the corner. It's a big fight in June. And hopefully, I just hope the BKFC doesn't do any more of these amateur hour. I love this promotion. I love what you're doing, guys. That was amateur hour press conference.
No
audio
more of that
was
shit
fucked
that
up.
You did last time. None of that shit this time.
No more
that
spitting and
up shit and all that too.
Fuck all that. Just stop. Stop.
I think it's kind of ran by some crazy motherfuckers. You know,
yeah, like, none of that trying to take people's too. Fucking pay. Like they need to get their shit together, man.
They just want.
You guys
savagery.
Got some good shit going on.
Yeah.
Rein it in.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Take some advice from the fucking fans.
Yeah, fuck.
Rein it in before you fuck it up, man.
All right, well, let's head back into the UFC for next weekend.
All right, word.
We got Anthony Lionheart Smith making his return to the octagon against Alexander Gustafsson, who's also making his return to the octagon.
Both
coming off losses of the GOAT John Jones.
Yeah, that's a little interesting bit of matchmaking.
I think John Jones wins this fight.
He could probably beat them both at the same time.
I wouldn't go that far.
No, probably not, actually.
In one night, probably, though.
Yeah, one after the other. Together, they probably. Maybe if you give John a knife.
He made Gus look like a fucking chump. And then he made Lionheart look like a young guy.
Yeah.
Like, maybe Lionheart beats him in, like, 3 years from now if he were to continue to improve. But, like, he just kind of made it look like he was just like, dude, he's good, but you're just not that good. You know what I mean?
It's not John Jones good.
Yeah,
of course, nobody is.
He's just on another level at this point.
He's
people
on
can hate
yeah.
and say whatever the fuck they want about John Jones, but he is literally on another level. No matter how you feel about how he got to that level, you must admit he's on another level.
There's no denying it. People
yeah.
that deny it are just not living in reality at this point.
Yeah.
So,
he's
who do you like
savage.
In this, man?
I told you, John Jones.
John Jones, you like Gus, it's in Sweden again. Gus's record in Sweden is not that great.
Yeah, I'd like to see Lionheart come in here and put on a show.
I would too. We've had the pleasure of meeting Lionheart, man. I'd like to see him get the win too. I think he will, actually. I think he's on the rise still. I think Gus is on.
I think this could be Gus's last fight.
I think Gus is a little bit on the downswing.
Well,
just
and
looking
he's,
at reality
he's also kind of always played with retirement. And I feel like if he really gets this far out of the picture and loses to Lionheart, this could be one of the last times we see him.
It would be very telling if he loses here. Very
yeah,
very
for
telling,
sure.
Man. We also got Volkan Ozdemir making his return against Ilir Latifi. I like that
man,
fight.
This is going to be tough, though. Like Ozdemir coming off two losses.
Yeah.
Latifi coming off a loss, too.
Both solid fighters. TV
came off
too.
Corey Anderson, and then Ozdemir lost to Lionheart and Dominic Reyes, which I thought he won that fight.
I thought he won the Dominic Reyes fight as well. But he was robbed.
It's still on the record as a loss.
Yes, sir.
So.
Yes, sir.
You know what I mean? In those kind of situations, people forget the controversial decision later on, and it pretty much just becomes a loss, you know, in those situations. Because it wasn't, like, extremely egregious. Like, it was pretty bad, but it wasn't like, everyone's like, oh, whatever, dude, fuck it. You know what I mean? It was those, like, so Ozdemir is put him in a weird situation, and Ilir Latifi is not a fucking fight to get back on track with.
No, you could get slept.
Real quick.
Yeah.
Get slept, and you can get dominated.
Absolutely.
Ilir Latifi is a tough motherfucker.
And imagine if he doesn't win here. He's only looking at
3 losses. And he's only, what, 29?
Yeah. Like, come on, immediate. This is fast a downfall as he had rise. Talk about no fucking time.
Yeah.
And no time on a downfall either. You lose 3 in a row that quick. I mean, regardless of the fact that I also agree that he won the Dominic Reyes fight. It don't matter.
It doesn't matter now, like,
3 in a row would be brutal. And Latifi,
he's not looking to lose 2 in a row.
He's looking at fucking.
He's on the back end, dude.
He's on, you know, gatekeeper status for sure.
For sure.
But not a streaking contender that just is.
Well, here's the thing. Supposedly, he was the number one contender 2 fights ago. But then when he fought Corey Anderson, like, you know, now he's kind of back into the, like, mid pack. You know what I mean? He's like, what? He's probably ranked probably 6th, something like that. Somewhere around
there. He's top 10 for certain.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But yeah, so I don't know. One of these guys. Something's got to give here in the loss column, obviously.
Who do you like in the fight? Who's your pick?
I'm just going to go with Ozdemir just because I really want him to get back on track.
Yeah. I'm going with Latifi by KO. The God of Thunder is going to knock that motherfucker out in no time.
That is not his fucking, that is not his nickname.
It is in the message boards, my man. It's not his official
Latifi
nickname.
Is not the God
he is
of
the
thunder.
Thunder God.
No, that is
down from the heavens above.
No, that is fucking what's his name? The dude with the Thor hammer.
Thor?
No. In the UFC, who's fighting
Santos?
For the title? Yeah, he's the Thunder God.
No, that's like a whole meme on message boards.
Dude, don't lie to me, dude.
Latifi.
Latifi's a fucking ninja turtle, dude. He has the body of a ninja turtle.
I'm gonna fire up this fucking joint.
Do it,
right
dude.
Here.
He's one of those like just.
I think
he's a smaller light heavyweight, and he's just fucking thick as fuck. Dude.
He is very thick, man. Like, he's powerful, dude, and he's a good fighter, man.
He's super explosive, and that's what's scary in this fight. Either one of these guys could easily knock each other out.
He's gonna get back on track.
Yeah, it sucks. And speaking of people who are trying to get back on track, let's transition here. So we had some unfortunate news this week. Tyron Woodley had to pull out of his fight against Robbie Lawler. And then he kind of came out with this strange article about how his hand that he's had some issues with in the last year or so has developed like arthritis in multiple parts of his hand. And he said that had to pull out of the fight, and then also he's got to do some physical therapy, and then he said he has to talk with the UFC and see if he can get a fight somewhere where they will allow him to get a cortisone shot a day or so before the fight.
A cortisone steroid shot?
Yeah, to his hand.
So a steroid shot.
Shit.
I'm just talking about I don't mean like he's cheating. I mean like the way a fucking idiot commission or USADA might look at it. I hope he can. Jesus.
Well,
but
in boxing, they do it all the time.
Yeah.
People get him in boxing. It just really depends on the commission's rules.
I hope he can, because that's terrible news, man. And a cortisone shot would definitely help. I mean, I'll take care of that.
I mean, but how long can you do that and continue to fight?
Not very long. 3-4
like,
fights.
You know,
maybe. Especially when you're a big puncher like he is.
Yeah.
Or you're using your grip.
Exactly.
Like, that's the other
thing. That's
what
he was saying.
He
was saying
grip,
in that Usman
man.
Fight, he had no grip whatsoever. He said he couldn't grip him.
Dude, that's legit. That's a legit thing. Like, and he's a fucking wrestler. Like, your grip is very, very important.
And think about how long he's been using his grip in his life. So, his hands could be, obviously, he.
Man, he needs to get on that CBD if he's not already.
I mean, it really doesn't matter at this point. Dude, he's got advanced, like, stages of arthritis where his, like,
his but, fucking he needs to be, like, soaking his hand. I mean, the anti-inflammatory fucking properties would at least maybe help stop
he it said from
getting
that,
worse.
But damn, yeah, but, this joint dude, is tight fuck, as fuck man. Man. It's, it's looking like a rough road for T-Wood to come back, though. He said he's looking to come back in August. We'll see what happens. But
they
now
didn't
we're looking
look
at
Lawler in a fight, did they?
They haven't yet, but I mean, you think Robbie will wait for him, or do you think?
No, I think
he's got options. He's got options too. Yeah, he's definitely got some options. You got Santiago Ponzinibbio is out there asking for that fight. Mike Perry wants that fight.
Robbie don't need them eye pokes. Don't even go there with that Santiago.
I wouldn't mind the Mike Perry fight. That'd be a savage fight.
That's what I'm talking about. Mike Perry versus Robbie Lawler. There you go.
Who else that's was a fight that gets me Who interested. Else was talking about it? There was another guy, too.
Interested, for sure, man. That's
Who else was trying to get that fight? There was
that's
one more
a fucking,
person.
Man, Mike Perry, Robbie Lawler. I don't even need to hear who the other person is. Let's make that.
I don't think Mike Perry's ready UFC. For that. Robbie Lawler would smoke Mike Perry, dude.
Probably, but it fucking it would be a good fight while
ground.
It lasted because Perry comes to
dude,
fight.
Dude, imagine if fucking Nick Diaz Everybody came knows. Out of fucking retirement and fought Robbie Lawler.
Dude, did you hear what Michael Bisping was saying on his podcast talking about Nick Diaz? He says that that's who he thinks Conor should fucking call out.
Nick Diaz?
Yeah.
Fuck that. He's too big. Like size wise.
Dude, Nate's bigger than Nick these days.
These days,
you seen
but
them together?
Nick's got a much bigger frame than Nate. Nate's a slender dude, but he's like, he's big.
Yeah,
like,
but
he's big like, he's like a spider big. Nick is like more thick. He's like, you know what I mean? He's
it ain't
going
to happen. Nick's here in Vegas partying. You follow his Instagram, dude. Yeah. He is at the club every night right here in
he
town.
Said he ain't trying to hurt
getting
nobody.
Getting up. Talk about, I ain't trying to hurt nobody. Yeah. I'm trying to party with these hot bitches, smoke this fucking legal weed in Vegas and get fucked up.
Although he's still, I'm pretty sure he's still going to be part of Nate's corner, probably. I'd imagine, because he's always been in his corner.
Right. So and he's, is he cleared up with the NSAC? Because if he's not cleared up, he can't.
Why would he?
Is that fight's not here, is it? Where is that Pettis Diaz fight at?
Do you remember? I don't know, wherever the August card's at.
I don't remember where it is.
Might be here.
Fight week, but if it's here, I can't remember if he paid his fine, though.
For what?
He was holding off on that weed fine for a long, long time.
I don't know.
Like he paid half of it, but didn't pay the other half.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know anything about that, so I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's not like a big deal, but they wouldn't let him corner his brother and shit if he didn't clear it up. But yeah, that fight ain't happening. But we had some other news that kind of abruptly came in. You know, another because of that, wasn't the Ngannou versus JDS fight moved?
Yeah, it was moved.
And that's going to be the new fight
be
night.
The new, yeah. Headline. Which kind of fucks it up for those guys because the best promo to cut is JDS or Ngannou fucking knocking each other's lights out and then going, I want to fight the winner of the main event. You know what I mean? And then fucking, then we get the little cut to the DC or Stipe rematch or the first fight for either guy. You know?
Absolutely.
Although, if DC were to lose this fight, they're probably doing a trilogy no matter who wins the Ngannou JDS fight.
Yeah, probably. Dude, this Lemon Walker OG is...
Stipe could kind of control the rest of DC's career at this point. Because if DC were to get that win when they run it back, I don't think DC fights John Jones. Like, I think if Stipe were to win and they end up having a third fight, I don't think he fights John Jones a third time. I think it's either going to be rematch with Stipe, he beats Stipe, then a John Jones third fight, or... he fights Stipe two more times.
I can agree with that. I think you're right.
And that sucks for the winner of this fight. Who do you got in this fight, though?
Dos Santos and Ngannou? Man, that's so...
That's a fucking...
I mean...
It's a puncher versus puncher.
I want to say JDS because he's having a resurgence. He actually does have a good wrestling defense and a bit of a good wrestling base. The other hand, I want to say Ngannou because...
they're not going to wrestle. They're going to fucking throw hands.
Because because I don't think JDS is going to employ that strategy, even though he should. He'll probably try and trade. Ngannou's young and upcoming still. JDS has kind of been around the block, and this is
JDS like has been a stopped KO, a couple man. Times, dude.
Yeah.
Dude, actually, imagine Ngannou just goes in there and just fucks him up. That'd be crazy.
That would be crazy. I think it's going to be Ngannou.
I think
actually.
He could. Yeah,
Ngannou
dude,
just
I think
fucked
he might,
up Kane,
dude.
Man. He fucking slept fucking Kane.
He did.
Dude, with like a smart punch too, like yeah. a calculated. It wasn't just some crazy. Like Kane is coming in for the takedown. He laid. It was like uppercut time, bitch. And there it was. Fucking a beautiful thing. I think
nobody's heard anything about Kane's knee since then. So I don't want to hear any of that.
Right,
bullshit.
He's down there wrestling. His yeah. knee's fine down there yeah. in the fucking wrestling ring.
Yeah, exactly.
Jesus, that bullshit. Did you get the KO? Did you get KO?
Yeah,
you
okay. got KO.
It's heavyweight,
all good.
Man. It's not like
that's why you can't fight bare knuckle. Imagine if Ngannou fought bare knuckle. He would fuck everybody up.
That's a scary fucking thought, right?
That's why you don't have heavyweight bare knuckle fighters. It's crazy.
There's none. There's no heavyweight.
I have not seen it. I don't think
was
it
Sean Merriman gonna fight? He was gonna be a heavyweight.
He's light heavyweight, I think.
Was he?
I think so.
I mean, it didn't happen anyway, so
yeah.
That bullshit.
But what's heavyweight in their division, though? Cause
I don't even know.
Is it boxing weight classes or MMA weight classes?
I think it's their own weight classes.
Oh, okay, I don't know. Fuck it.
I'm not certain.
But back to this fight. I think it's going to come down to who lands the fucking hardest punch, dude. JDS could put Ngannou's lights out, and Ngannou could very, very easily put JDS's out.
JDS tends to fire, you know, he's got a stance where his hand's kind of low.
Yeah, he points at the ground. He's like, come on, motherfucker.
Yeah, and he keeps his hands, like, not at his waist, but, like, mid-level. They're certainly ain't up
he's
by his
boxer.
Fucking chin. Yeah, but he's this boxer in almost, like, the British fucking style with the hands down low, kind of, back in the day. Like, he's not a boxer. Like, he don't keep tucked in, peekaboo style.
Sometimes he does.
Back in the day, he did more often.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. I feel like as he's, like, progressed, he's gone more towards the MMA style, but early in his career, that's what he was doing.
Yeah, he was.
When he had his most, yeah, when he had his most like success, honestly, in the UFC is when he was fighting like that. And I mean, obviously, we're talking about a less developed heavyweight division then, but even now, like, you can't really say that a lot of these heavyweights are that. Like, if you don't really have to be a very solid mixed martial artist to win a heavyweight title,
not at heavyweight, no.
Like, you just gotta have power and athleticism. Honestly,
yeah.
I don't mean to like sound like is anything.
If
less.
You follow MMA, you know this. Like yeah. the heavyweight's different. It allows.
It's just different because anyone can put anyone's lights out at any point when you weigh 265 pounds.
Well, it allows guys like Brendan Schaub to have great success in MMA, yeah. where he had like no martial arts background, but he's a very athletic guy, former football player, came in at heavyweight,
well,
he's able to learn
yeah.
and do some shit. Not knocking his skill set. Yeah. He's not a schlub at all. But, I mean, he's not like Demetrius Johnson.
Yeah, exactly.
He's not a fucking MMA yeah. wizard, and he'd
like
be the
Kimbo
first
Slice,
to admit that.
Kimbo Slice, perfect example.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, Kimbo's coming in off the street
Matt
fights.
Mitrione. He's, yeah, Mitrione. These guys have yeah. skills, and they've developed them for the game, but they're not, like, lifelong martial artists and shit.
Yeah, no, exactly. So, yeah, I don't know, man. It's just heavyweight is such a flip of a coin division. And I think this is a flip of a coin fight.
I'm going Ngannou. I'm making.
Yeah,
I'm
taking
Ngannou
too.
Call.
I'm going Ngannou in round two.
Going Ngannou. I'm going to say that Stipe is going to wind up winning against DC, and then Ngannou's really going to clamor. I don't know. It depends on how he loses. If it's a decision, maybe. If it's a knockout.
What if he does what? What if Cormier gets KO'd by Stipe the way Stipe got KO'd by Cormier?
Then I think Cormier might retire then.
Think so?
I mean, we're past his March 20th deadline, and he's only holding on for the Brock fight.
Yeah, but now he's talking about he's got two more fights in him.
But then you get KO'd.
Cry a little bit more. You only have so many tears, so.
He might run out of tears.
Run out.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. Dude, I don't know.
To
be honest, you're right. What if Stipe were to go in there and dominate him for 5 rounds? Where would that put his mindset on fighting another time?
Right, he's not going to want to cut weight and go get his ass kicked by John Jones again.
For real. And really?
I hope, Dude, what a terrible, risky move that would be. Because the odds are he's going to lose. And then what?
And if I'm John Jones, why go up to heavyweight and stack the cards against yourself?
Not gonna do it. No, he won't.
Fuck that.
Maybe when he's like 35.
You
want
to run it, bro? You want to run it? Let's run it. But you got to come to me. I'm fucking 2-0 against you.
By the time John Jones gets up to heavyweight, he's going to be old.
Yeah.
DC will be retired. This whole crop of them will probably be retired. I think he's going to be a light heavyweight for a minute.
Think so?
Yeah.
So you think he triumphed against all the young guys at light heavyweight right now?
I think so.
Including Johnny Walker, Corey Anderson. I mean, we'll see what happens, but possibly.
It's a fight game. Anybody can lose. But I mean, if you ask me if I was like, okay, betting, yeah.
Dominic Reyes is coming up. Time. Yeah, I would too. Fuck.
Every fucking time.
I've never seen a night where.
When John does that look Jones, like a bad move?
Yeah.
The one time is that Gustafson fight, the first one, and then look at the rematch. It was like, okay.
Now the cool. the only one time was fucking when he fought Matt Hamill.
Pulling the Matt Hamill bullshit. But I mean, yeah. Fuck.
I wish they could have overturned that to a no contest.
I know, it's terrible that they haven't. He shouldn't have that blemish on his career, but whatever. Anybody that knows anything knows he's undefeated. You like this Lemon Walker OG?
Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah, me too. It's good. Fucking tasty. Man.
Well, yeah. So I don't know. Heavyweight division's in a weird spot right now.
Dude, we had another heavyweight fight announced this since our last show. This kind of kind of controversial, but I'm digging it. Which was Greg Hardy's next fight versus Juan Adams. Who was fairly unknown to me, but I did see his last fight, which was on the ESPN card, and I mean, he looked pretty good actually. And it was
cracking, dude.
It was on, it was on that card where we were talking beforehand.
Fuck Greg Hardy.
It was the last time that Greg Hardy fought too, and I remember distinctly saying to you that every one of these heavyweight fighters could kick Greg Hardy's ass.
Yeah,
and yeah, this guy's on the fuck Greg Hardy hashtag. He's like,
he's a savage. It looks like,
and he's a legit fighter. He's not like this can he fucking fought in the co-main event on that bullshit. Juan Adams is a real fighter, and he's big as fuck, too. He's big. He ain't going to be no size advantage for Hardy in this one. That's
although,
a big dude.
I kind of want Greg Hardy to win so Derek Lewis can beat the shit out of him.
Yeah, that was my only disappointment with this Juan Adams announcement, was that it wasn't going to be Derek Lewis. But that's too big a fight to give Greg Hardy anyways, Derek Lewis, right now.
If he beats Juan Adams, beats Juan Adams, give him Derek Lewis.
He ain't going to do that. Juan Adams is a legit fighter.
Derek Lewis will fuck him up.
Yeah, he likes to beat up woman beaters, too.
Yeah, Derek Lewis will fuck him up. It'll be fun to watch, too.
Yeah, the lead up in that fight would be pretty interesting, the press conference.
And I feel like he'd get on the mic and tear him up, too.
But Derek's recovering from that knee surgery right now.
That's what I'm saying. That's why he's got to fight this fight. And I doubt he'll probably want to fight until early 2020. That's probably when Derek will be able to come back.
That makes sense.
Let's say Greg Hardy has a tough fight with this Juan Adams guy. Maybe gets a third round KO or something like that. Something, you know, something where it just turns into a slugfest late and what just lands... wins a fight, but it was a tough one, so he needs to take some time off. Then you get the Derek Lewis fight after that, and Derek Lewis beats the brakes off him.
I'd like that, too. I mean, if he's got a win, then I would like that scenario to play out, but I'm hoping Juan, who's my new favorite heavyweight for this fight, beats the shit out of him.
Beats the shit out of him.
That would be fucking great. Now, I got a question for you. Now, we don't have to dive into the whole card because it's still a couple weeks away, but the next UFC's pay-per-view does have a couple title fights at the top.
Dude, you already know who I want to win that shit.
Well, that's really... Yeah, we've got Cejudo versus...
Moraes
for the bantamweight vacant title. But my question to you is, with the new UFC rankings that dropped, a week ago... So they're not new, really, at this broadcast, but there's a new thing occurring in the men's flyweight division.
There's only 12 fighters.
Yeah, they've actually released so many fighters, they don't qualify for the UFC's top 15 anymore. There's fucking 12.
Yeah.
So if Cejudo wins, are they shutting that division down?
Break it down like this. How many double champs have ever defended their titles?
None.
So obviously what's going to happen is he's going to win this title, double champ. He's going to the press conference with two belts, and he's going to talk to everyone like he's double champ. And then 2 months later, the UFC is going to announce that they're officially shutting down.
I'd say 2 weeks later, but yeah, same
no,
sentiment.
Dude, not even, because think about it. The UFC is that kind of, that they do that kind of shit. They don't do shit until the last minute they have to do shit, you know, because Cejudo's going to walk around with those belts for probably like a month. Well,
yeah, they
or
do
want
to milk that double champ.
They want him to get his notoriety for his double champ.
Okay, you're right. You're right. 2 months.
They're
going
to give him a month or two, and then they're going to announce it's going to be closed. And, like, they're going to blame it on, like, negotiations for the fight for the winner of the Joseph Benavidez and what's his name fight. They're going to be like, oh, we couldn't come to terms about that fight. So they're going to close the division, and he's just going to become the bantamweight champ. No one defends that shit. Sorry, dude.
So.
Game over.
Here's something that I find fascinating. Now, you, being a very, very big Cejudo fan, might not initially like what I'm saying, but it's not an insult. It's just a fact of the scenario that we are in right now. But isn't it, let me take a hit of this weed and pass this to you, but isn't this, the fucking height of MMA irony at what is happening here? Because Cejudo, he made all these references to being what? The savior of the flyweight division. And now with a win, he will be the killer of the flyweight division. The final nail in the coffin.
Not necessarily,
that makes
because
the UFC. You not, just said yes.
Well, no, not necessarily, because if he loses, they're That's still so going to do it
ironic.
Too.
Ironic. No, well, if he loses, he's still the champ.
It doesn't matter.
It breathes
if he
life.
No.
Life.
No, it doesn't. If he loses, they're still going to close it too.
So there's going to be like, now you're just not a champ?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
They're just going to bend him over
his
fucking...
No, he's just going to be like a top-ranked bantamweight after that. Honestly, that's what's going to happen if he loses. Because that division's closing either way. There's
I think it's closing either way. But I think if
I think it closes
Cejudo
on a
loses,
high note if he wins. If he
it
loses,
breathes
it closes off. It's like, ah, oh, shit.
See, I told you wouldn't like it, but... It's the height of irony.
Well, yeah.
Only because he himself made such a big deal of parading around, calling himself to say, I'm doing this for the flyweight. Dude, if you were the flyweight, you'd be like, nah, I'm going to defend my title because we have a division here. Stop letting these fighters go. Let's go next in line. But nah, I get it. He's like, champ, champ.
If you're on
Connor,
the sinking ship.
Durka, Durka, Ali Abdul Aziz whispering in his ear. What's he going
to
do?
He's not the captain of the ship. He
what's
doesn't
he
have to
do?
Stay
no,
on
is,
when it goes
is,
down.
It's like, hey, buddy.
Ali's shade, bro.
But it's pretty ironic, you got to say.
Yeah.
Because that argument could at least be stated. It could be
and
a
in
nice
all,
little meme.
In all seriousness, sir, freaking... Moraes could obviously win this fight.
No, he's a deadly fighter. He could win, but I favor Cejudo as well. I think he's likely going to pull it off.
I think so. You know, it might be boring, but I think he's going to pull it off. I think it might be a boring 5-round fight, but I think he beats him.
What about the next title fight? What about Shevchenko versus Jessica Ai at the women's 125?
Dude, I think Ai has a serious chance of winning that fight.
Get the fuck out of
I'm
here.
I'm being so serious.
Did you... You know, despite the scorecards, if you're just going, you know, she basically beat Amanda Nunes. I mean, I know she lost that second fight, but I mean, come on. Like, just attesting to her skill levels, look at the beast that Nunes is. Shevchenko is a fucking animal. She's probably, without a doubt, she's the second best female fighter around.
Yeah.
Right after Amanda.
For sure.
She's gonna.
I don't know.
Jessica
I just
Ai
like,
is a good.
I just
she's
like
gonna murk her.
I like a little shake up. I like a little shake.
Flames. It's not even gonna be competitive. It's gonna be like when Shevchenko beat down that Priscilla girl so bad, and people.
You
are
know
like, damn, why'd you let that happen? Jessica Ai now.
I mean, I hate to just skip back, but let's go back to that Cejudo fight real quick.
All right, that's fine.
I wonder
Tell
what
me.
The size difference is in these two fighters. Because Moraes is a smaller guy, but Cejudo's really small.
I know. I can't watch the press conference that they had when they would talk. Because, like, they're both so goddamn cringeworthy with their shit talking. I can't do it. So I haven't seen them square off or nothing. I figured
haven't
you
either, actually. Shit. That's a good point. I haven't seen them square off yet.
Cejudo's got to be smaller.
Yeah.
He's 5'4".
He's definitely not as thick. And Marais is going to be pretty hooked up, dude. And, dude, who knows? Because Marais has some legit jiu-jitsu.
Dude, he's a very good fighter. He could win this fight. It's not a walk
he's
in the park.
He's fucking explosive.
He's not just going to walk in there and become champ.
Yeah.
Or, excuse me, that's trademarked. He's not going to come in there and become double champ, bro. He's not going to be the double champ.
He's the DCC.
I'll have to give Connor his money.
Double champ Cejudo.
Double champ Cejudo. There you go.
Every double champ has to have their weird fucking, you know, whatever.
Well, so you got to admit, though, Shevchenko's going to.
I don't know, dude.
She's going to win that fight.
Probably, but who knows? I would love to just see some shake up, though. That would be awesome. Imagine Jessica pulls it off. I mean, Shevchenko probably smashes her in a rematch, but to say she did it would be cool.
What do you think about Jessica Andrade willing to give Rose an immediate rematch in Denver?
Did you hear?
How dope is that?
Did you also hear, though, that she said she will not give Ioana Jędrzejczyk a shot until she wins some fights.
Yeah.
I don't know, though, because when she was smashing everybody at that weight class, then moved up and fought Shevchenko.
Right.
And so she was technically the number one contender.
What do you think about that? You think Rose takes this shit? And how cool is that? I mean, I just like Jessica.
Yeah, but when the fuck is the UFC going to Denver anytime?
Dude, they go to Denver pretty regular. Like, they can put on a card there. They've done it before. I mean, the very first one.
As a pay-per-view, though?
They're not worried about their pay-per-views, though. Now. They get a guaranteed $500,000
from... fucking pull that shit now.
They don't need to worry about selling it out.
I don't know.
Fuck it.
Yeah, I don't know if that happens, though. It really depends on where Rose is now. She's talking about not fighting ever again. And that's a dangerous place to go if you're not in it. Get fucking smashed on your neck again, see what happens. You know, she had neck problems before the fight and then gets fucking slammed on her goddamn head.
Yeah, well, I hear you.
I mean, isn't that why she was out for the last, what, year? Wasn't she having neck problems?
There was a bit of that, and I heard other things. We all heard other things, too.
Yeah, well, I mean, she said she had a neck injury, is why she hadn't accepted fights. So if she had a neck injury going, like, she had just healed from, it's not helping that you're getting slammed on your neck and fucking slept. Because then when you get slept, you land on the other side of your neck and you're sleeping. You know what I mean? Like, fuck. So, who knows where she's at now? Especially after talking about how she's... doesn't really care to fight anymore. Also, like, it's just a scary place to put yourself in.
Very much so, man. Totally. Yeah. Which sucks. We'll see what happens.
She's so fucking young still, too. Man. She's, what, 24?
She's very young. Like, holy shit. The offer's out there, though. We'll see what she does. It's pretty big of Andrade.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. Really not that big by Josh, obviously, because she fucking, I don't know, she was getting tooled up.
Andrade?
Yeah,
she was losing that fight until that slam, handily. Like,
first round, fucking explosive, it was crazy, dude.
The first round,
she was so.
I mean, I'm not taking anything away from Jessica, but it was Rose lost because Rose made a terrible mistake.
Here's the thing, she was getting picked up and she held on to a Kimura
instead of letting go.
Yes, but you have to credit the insecurity of her defense to the slam in general is why she held on to it. You know what I'm saying? Like, Andrade is such an explosive fighter and such a, like, dominant...
Well, obviously, they trained the Kimura to block the takedown.
That's what I'm saying,
The mistake was holding on to it. You just let go at that point. Yeah. Like, she lets go, she takes a slam, and the fight goes on, and the fight, she was handily winning.
Yeah.
Instead, she made a mistake.
But Andrade is fucking tough, man. She's a tough motherfucker, dude.
She's so explosive, it's crazy. That's offer an immediate rematch in a fight that you were getting your ass handed to you.
She's a tough.
In the other girl's hometown, I hope that Rose is all right and she takes.
Yeah,
that,
but in all honesty, it doesn't matter where the location is. But I'm saying because
I like her in the rematch.
You think so?
Yeah. If she's, you know, the rematch would indicate she's taking it pretty serious. So. I mean, you've gone back and watched that fight, right? Like, that first round wasn't even close. That was, like, about as good as it gets. Like,
it was tough. But,
you know, and the second round is starting off the same way, too. Right up until she just, you hang on like that, you're going to get slammed on your neck.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck do we know? Yeah. Enough to know that. I mean, just, you know, it was a mistake. Shit happens, man. And Andrade is great to capitalize on it and had the power to fucking knock her the fuck out.
Yeah.
You know, she's
a savage, dude.
Yeah, it's because she's savage as fuck. It wasn't just a painful neck. It was a KO.
Yeah, 100%.
But, you know, shit. But yeah, I like her in the rematch if that happened. But, hey. That's 50-50 at best.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Well, I think that about wraps us up today here.
I think you're right, my man. Sure. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. You can listen to the show on Thursday nights at 6 p.m. here in Vegas, 9 p.m. on the East Coast, WBUZ 95 on Orange Radio app, radio.net. You can find us on all the podcast outlets and YouTube as well.
Yeah. Go follow us on Instagram. Hit the like button. Hit the subscribe button on YouTube.
All that info is at SWATMMA.com.
Fuck yeah.
Peace, all right, everybody.
Later.